Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ed Alexander, Ed producing and engineering today's show. On behalf of Ed and myself, we welcome you to the program. It is our midweek edition, the 4th of March, a Wednesday, 2015. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, podcasts, of course. And our complete show archive have most of the shows we have done over the last 4 years and 2 months available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin with a conversation with our health contributor, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Then about 12:30, we'll talk with the head of the Goodwill Industries in Southern Arizona. They continue to expand and hire people, which is really good news. We will close out the show with the midweek edition. On our midweek edition with a preview of the annual Youth Science Fair. The Buckmaster live line number 790-2040. Our topic is going to be obesity. Perhaps you would like to call in, make a comment. We would love to hear from you again at 790-2040. And our Facebook page, we're still counting down to 4,000 friends. The last I checked, we were about 5 or 6 friends short. So if you're listening and you'd like to join us on Facebook, well, help us hit 4,000 friends. Who knows? You could be number 4,000. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes. She is the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine, and she is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and she's the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. That book has been very successful. 2-year anniversary for that book, is that right?
That's right.
Wow. And I'm sure you've heard from people all over the world who have said the book helped them.
Yes, it's really exciting. In fact, it's about to be translated into Japanese, and they'd like me to come to Japan when it's launched. So that is very meaningful to me that it's helped people.
You can learn more about Victoria Mazes at her website, Victoria Mazes, that's M-A-I-Z-E-S, MD.com, or you can follow her on Twitter at V Mazes. Victoria, good to see you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We've talked before about obesity, but I think it's important to bring it up again. It's such a huge issue, and you have some really new information, kind of fresh information. You were involved with taking part in a day and a half kind of seminar, correct?
Yes, it was a webinar that was put on by the National Institute for Environmental Health Studies and the Institute of Medicine, and it was really on the interplay between environmental exposures and obesity. So we all tend to think a lot about how many calories do people eat and how much do people move, but there are many, many other factors that are considered obesogens, you know, things that, increase our risk, and the conference was very much focused on those.
Well, environmental chemicals and obesity, this is new. I mean, you don't usually associate overweight with any kind of environmental issues.
Right. So the best evidence for this actually comes from an environmental chemical we're all very familiar with, which is cigarette smoke. And it turns out that there's very strong evidence that when moms smoke cigarettes while they're pregnant, it increases the likelihood that their child will be overweight or obese. Best evidence for that, but a lot of provocative evidence for bisphenol A and phthalates. And these are ubiquitous. We get exposed to bisphenol A in plastic. So when we drink from plastic water bottles, when we accept a receipt from a cash register. Those are coated with bisphenol A or with BPS, which is essentially an equivalent. And also the linings of cans have bisphenol A, that resin lining that's within. So we get exposed to it a lot in our food and also in receipt paper. And then phthalates we're exposed to in all sorts of personal care products, like if women spray hairspray or some of the lotions we put in our body or fragrance we may spray on ourselves, all those are sources of phthalates, as are, for example, some of the children's toys had phthalates until recently when they required that they be removed.
So would this perhaps make us then more susceptible to gaining weight?
That's exactly right. These, if you think about obesity and overweight, it would make sense that this would be an endocrine issue, you know, a hormonal issue. Well, these chemicals, bisphenol A and also phthalates, but other things like, you know, arsenic, for example, and other kinds of pesticides that are on our food, these can act as endocrine disrupting chemicals. So they alter the normal function of the hormones in our body, whether that's estrogen or testosterone or thyroid or other hormones in our bodies that can affect our weight regulation.
Was there anything that came up about during your meetings about how to perhaps lessen the impact of these issues?
Well, that's a great question. Ideally, our government makes certain changes so that we are less exposed. Lots of countries have removed bisphenol A from food storage, so they no longer allow the cans to be lined with it, or they no longer allow its use in plastic bottles. So this is one regulatory issue that can make a big difference. Having said that, we as individuals can take steps. We can drink from stainless steel or glass water bottles that we can carry ourselves. We can minimize any food storage in plastic, so we can get glass Tupperware instead of plastic. We can use ceramic storage containers. We can minimize our use of canned food or buy from the companies that are avoiding BPA in their cans. There are a number of companies that do that. You can find them at treehugger.com, which is a website that lists these companies. So there are actions we could take on an individual level that can certainly help. If people are worried about the cost, frozen is a better choice than canned, actually, because it doesn't penetrate the food in the same way.
790-2040, 790-2040. We're talking about obesity and something that really I hadn't thought about before, and I'm sure many of our listeners probably hadn't either, about the environmental chemicals that may lead to weight gain. And, you know, I wonder, for pregnant moms, and we were talking about fertility and your book, which has just had its two-year anniversary and doing so well, pregnant moms, they've got to be so careful, don't they, about about maybe their newborn may get some kind of a genetic disposition toward obesity.
And so there is actually quite strong evidence that shows that the effects in the womb can be more permanent effects. So, for example, if you or I in our middle age eat foods that have BPA in them, it's going to have a temporary effect and not a more permanent effect. But when the fetus is in the womb and its nervous system is developing and its cardiovascular system and its hormonal system, the impact of the environmental chemicals can actually have a permanent effect in altering the set points. And that's why it is so important for pregnant women to be especially cautious. Also, mothers of young children, another time when we're particularly vulnerable. Having said that, it's really throughout our lives we want to be careful and we want to be aware that we can take steps and we can influence our government to make sure that we have safer products.
How about the genetic disposition of obesity? Is there an inherent Is it inherited?
Yes, so that's a great question. There are over 100 genes that have been linked to obesity. So there's no question that some people are more susceptible than others. But you have to remember that our genes don't change rapidly. And we have seen this rapid increase in obesity in our society over the past several decades. The good news is that we're actually seeing a reversal. There are four states, and includes, I'm sorry to say, not Arizona, but our neighbors, New Mexico and California, have both been able to show a reversal of obesity in young children. So that's a wonderful sign that we are stemming this growing epidemic. Ohio and West Virginia were the other two states that actually have shown a reversal in pediatric obesity. So we can take steps that make a difference in either direction. One of the things that does appear, and this is probably another surprising factor to many people, is whether or not children are treated with antibiotics in early childhood. So when kids get an antibiotic before the age of 2, they have an increased risk of developing obesity.
Hmm. So the kids, that can be very dangerous, then, it sounds like, giving a kid under 2 an antibiotic.
Well, antibiotics can be life-saving, and so I don't want to minimize that there are times when we have to use them. However, sometimes we have a choice, and it turns out that using a narrow-spectrum antibiotic, so one that's going to focus very specifically on the likely bacteria causing the infection, is a much better choice than what we call a broad-spectrum antibiotic. And so that's something that moms can and dads can be aware of, and they can actually say to the doctor, well, can you treat my child with as narrow spectrum an antibiotic as possible? And we know sometimes there are pressures to increase use of antibiotics. People say, well, I can't take my child back to daycare unless they're on an antibiotic. And yet many of the infections, for example, 90% of the ear infections in kids are viral. And yet often there's this pressure to use an antibiotic, even though there's no evidence that they help viral infections.
And the pressure works both ways. The doctor has pressure from the patient, the mom, and then saying, well, I feel like really I'm not getting my money's worth, or this visit, I really would like to leave with a prescription. And sometimes you don't need a prescription if it's viral.
That's exactly right. So I think it's actually one of the helpful things. And in our integrative medicine educational program, we certainly do talk with people about, well, what else could you recommend, whether it's really nutritious food, whether it's some extra vitamin C, there's some evidence for zinc lozenges, but other things one could use in the setting of a viral infection so that the person does feel like they have something they can do to perhaps shorten the duration of an infection.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. Dr. Victoria Mays is the executive director of the UA-based Center for Integrative Medicine. We'll stick around for another segment. If you have a question or comment, 790-2040, our Buckmaster Show live line. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
At Perfection Auto Works, we can do everything from a simple tune-up, oil change, air conditioning, engine rebuild, or brakes. We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Volvo, BMW, and Mercedes.
We work on the whole thing, from the tires to the trunk lock.
323-8650. 323-8650. Our free 26-point inspection looks ahead for problems.
323-8650. That's
323-8650.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. The Tucson Festival of Books is a celebrated event everyone looks forward to, and Arizona Party Rental is glad to be a part of it. Now here's someone with some exciting news.
This is Brenda Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. This year is a benefit for literacy concert featuring a unique group of well-known authors called the Rock Bottom Remainders. Band members include Scott Turow, Dave Berry, Sam Berry, Mitch Albin, Amy Tan, Ridley Pearson, Greg Isles, and Alan Swibel. The concert will be Friday, March 13th at 8 p.m. at the U of A Student Union Ballroom. Tickets are available at TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
Hey, thanks a lot, Brenda.
Hi, this is Dave Barry with the Rock Bottom Remainders. We'll be in Tucson playing at the Tucson Festival of Books. How good a band are we?
Hey, Dave, let me take it from here. Don't miss author supergroup the Rock Bottom Remainders at this year's Tucson Festival of Books. For tickets, go to TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
We're that good.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us. She is the Executive Director of the University of Arizona Bay Center for Integrative Medicine. We're talking about some of perhaps the lesser known enhancers, let's call it, of obesity, things that perhaps could lead to a predisposition for obesity. And you mentioned antibiotics for young kids, environmental chemicals, certain viruses.
Yes, that probably very surprising to people, but there is a virus. It's an adenovirus, adenovirus 36. And we have strong evidence that it causes obesity in animals, but we actually have 12 studies in people, and 10 of them were positive, showing that if you had the antibody to this virus, you were more likely to be obese. And we also have twin studies that where one twin is has been infected with this virus and the other has not, a greater likelihood of obesity in the twin who's gotten the virus. So that's probably surprising to a lot of people. And it's provocative because you might be able to develop a vaccine to prevent obesity. That would be very different approach, huh?
Then there's soda and diet sodas.
Yes. So here I found fascinating, you know, the evidence is actually quite mixed about any value of diet soda. There have been studies to suggest that if you substitute diet soda, of course, you're not getting the same caloric intake as a regular soda. So you would think that it would lead you to lose weight. There are are studies in both directions. Some of the studies show that people who consume diet sodas are no slimmer whatsoever. There's this idea that you can't fool the brain, you know, that it tastes sweetness, it expects sweetness. If the sweetness doesn't come, you go finding it somewhere else. and yet there are other studies that show that diet soda actually does help people lose weight. And the difference, the explanation may all lie in the microbiome, because in the past year we had a very interesting study that showed when you fed rodents these artificial sweeteners, you altered their microbiome. And we're learning more and more about the microbiome, and that it may be part of the explanation for why people do or don't become obese.
Dan has been waiting patiently on the Buckmaster Show live line. I'm not sure if this is on topic, but Dan, we'll give it a try. Go ahead.
Yes, this was at a corporate meeting recently. Our medical department pointed out something that I wish she would discuss for all the folks. They mentioned that we've had a lot of problems. They've had a lot of problems with all the people now playing soccer. That particularly that young girls are getting kicked in the stomach and in the face and hitting the ball with their head and so forth is causing concussions and so forth. And the girls he was particularly concerned about could be causing some internal female problems. And he suggested that we tell our employees, tell our kids not to play soccer ball. I was wondering what the university feels about this.
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
So I think that's a very interesting question. Let me just first say that with any kind of physical activity, there is some risk. And certainly people can have injuries, especially playing competitive sports. At the same time, we all consider physical activity really a wonderful part of a healthy lifestyle for reducing the risk of injuries. I think the headbutting in soccer has been really put into question, and especially in younger children. So I appreciate your point. I do want to say that while we're talking about unusual causes of obesity or less well-known, being physically active, of course, is always an important part of a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, anything to do with head injuries with children is something that we really have to keep a close, and not just the soccer, but of course, when should young kids actually be playing football?
Yes.
And there's been a huge controversy over should kids start football at a young age.
Yeah, and I actually think it's exciting that there are these new helmets I know that are used in football that could actually measure the force of an injury and can help make that determination about was that injury to the head and therefore to the brain one that could be putting that child at risk and therefore taking the child off the field, making sure they rest. So the newer technology is definitely helping.
All right, let's go back now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Roberta has a question or comment for Dr. Mazes. Go ahead, Roberta.
Thank you. I'd like to say thank you for finally recognizing the effects of environmental chemicals on people's health. I was diagnosed with environmental illness in the early 80s by the doctor who discovered it in the 50s. And in his words, environmental chemicals are toxic and can cause any symptom in any system of the body. And two of the hormones that are affected are insulin and cortisol, making a person ravenously hungry and very weak, and so they grab the first thing that's handy to shove in their mouth. I know for me, I've learned that I have to have something healthy, all prepared and ready, so that when my blood sugar drops and I get ravenously hungry, I can shove something very healthy in my mouth. And while the microwave is not the healthiest thing to use, it heats something up healthy up faster than anything else.
Thank you. I think you've made two really important points. First of all, insulin is the master regulator of hormones that have to do with how we do in terms of our food metabolism, very important for our weight. And second of all, having those healthy snacks on hand so you can make wiser choices when you're ravenous.
And it really brings us to kind of the final point about something called mindless eating. And if you do, as Roberta was pointing out, she has the food already prepared and doesn't, then when she gets hungry, she doesn't grab something that bag of chips or anything.
Absolutely. Because
like
when we're starving, we just grab what's handy.
Yeah.
So that's a very good prevention. I'd say the other tip I'd have is that there is a small plate movement, and using a smaller plate actually leads us to eat less and feel satiated. And it turns out smaller portion sizes have an effect whether we're an adult, and it's even been tested in children as young as kindergartners. If you give them a big bowl of food, like a big bowl of cereal, they eat 30% more than if you give them a small bowl. So use small plates.
And that really brings up another topic for another time, the restaurants giving you these giant proportions. And I think part of that, Dr. Mays, is the industry feels that if the big plate isn't there with a, you know, piled that people, again, do not feel they're getting their money's worth.
Yes. Yeah, so in restaurants, sometimes I think people just divide the portion in half and decide they're taking half home. And then, you know, that can be a strategy for making two meals out of one and having a your own internal way of creating a healthy portion size.
Dr. Victoria Mazes, where can people find out more about the Center for Integrative Medicine?
Well, our website is azcim.org, or you could just Google Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine and it should come right up.
Okay, and we'll have hopefully news soon in the future about the integrative medicine clinic that is going to be in the offing, hopefully in the months to come.
Absolutely. We'd love to talk about that.
Dr. Mazes, thank you very much. Have a great week.
You too.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman from 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You got bugs? They driving you up the wall? I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. You call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 886-0045. They are more than competent. They're very economical. And check this out. They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday on the Buckmaster Show, a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Also, the Buckmaster Show legal advisor Don Luce joins us for his monthly visit to the show. Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com for anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and our complete show archive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, where we're live streaming at KVOI.com and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Goodwill of Southern Arizona, Goodwill Industries, is growing and providing more jobs for Tucson area residents. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Liz Gulick, who was named the interim president and CEO after Suzanne Lauder, who had been with the company for over 32 years, retired last fall. Liz, good to see you and thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
We know about Goodwill. Many of us, I personally donate clothing and other items to the Goodwill centers. I'm just wondering if you could give us, Liz, kind of an overall view. How large a footprint does Goodwill have here in the Tucson area?
In the Tucson area, actually, Goodwill has a territory. So our territory runs from Casa Grande all the way down to the border. So we have 22 retail locations, including Casa Grande, Sierra Vista, Benson, and 12 retail stores here in Tucson. We employ around 550 employees. We served last year 10,000 people in 5 adult and 5 youth programs. And one of the things that I would like people to know is that when you donate to Goodwill, you're providing jobs at our retail stores, but you're also helping support these programs for people who need additional training, employment services in our community. So your donation stays in our community.
And we know about the Goodwill donation centers, but we really don't know about the backstory. The backstory is that, as you say, the folks who are after the donations come in, the folks who are employed at the stores, but the programs Goodwill offers often fly below the radar screen.
That's true. Everyone knows we have donation centers in stores, but they might not know what happens to those retail revenues. And so I think it's important to point out that 90 cents out of every dollar Goodwill spends goes to put people to work and to provide programs for members in our community. And so we have, for example, if you go into one of our stores, you might see a Job Connection Center. That center helps anyone. It's a free service. You can go in and get assistance with a resume, job application, help with interviewing skills. Last year, we saw more than 24,000 visits to our 7 Job Connection Centers. So when you're donating, you're helping fund programs just like this.
And you know, when you're also donating those goods that are certainly folks may have tired of them, or they're still in good condition, and there's a new life for these goods, and they don't wind up in the landfill.
That's very true. We call them gently used, and they still have value. For example, and we're talking about enormous quantities that we keep out of the landfill. Last year, 24 million pounds were diverted from the landfill here in southern Arizona. So we're really proud of that.
And I was going to ask you, what are you accept? What material do you deem acceptable, Liz?
Well, when we sort product, when a donation comes in, we're really looking for something that's in good condition. But we can still get value out of it on the salvage market. So if an item is ripped or torn and something that's not going to be appropriate for the stores, we can take that item and instead of throwing it away, we can bundle it and sell it on the salvage market. So we still get value out of that.
Automobiles.
We take car donations. Absolutely. Any condition. Doesn't have to be running. And remember, we're a 501c3, so you can get a tax deduction on your donation.
We're speaking with Liz Gulick, who heads up the Goodwill of Southern Arizona. We have not talked about, and I want to talk about, that your donations to Goodwill also go to help support youth programs. This is so vital to our community, giving kids an opportunity to be busy and learn some new skills. Liz, could you go over some of the youth programs?
Absolutely. In a past life, I was a former educator and school counselor, so serving youth is something that's near and dear to my heart. These are programs that we've added recently in the last 5 years, and we started with a youth mentoring program because if you match a trained volunteer with a youth, it's shown that that has a really positive effect and can help keep that kid or get that kid back on the right track in life. We also have a program called Metro, and it's a little bit like a Job Connection Center for youth. It's a drop-in site. It's located on 4th Avenue, between 4th and 8th, right next to our store. And kids can go in there and get assistance, get case management services, look for volunteer opportunities, get help with a GED or some remediation if you need to. So that's been a wonderful program for us. We also have, through a partnership with Pima County One Stop, we have summer and after-school work experience, which allows youth to be placed and paid minimum wage with various employers in the community for 160 hours each session. So that's been wonderful for us. And then two more programs. One, our Good Futures program, which takes youth who have been involved in the juvenile justice system, provides some job skill training, job placement services, and credential training and work within community college, so career advancement. So that's been a good program.
And I like this final program, the Youth Restoration Project, because so many times kids who want to learn a skill, they don't really get that in the traditional school setting. We're talking almost like a vocational training here.
It is, and this is our newest program, and it really started again from wanting to keep items out of the landfill. And so furniture comes to us sometimes in some damaged condition that we can't put into the store. And we thought, how could we put some youth to work repairing this furniture and then put it back out into our stores for sale? So these youth are employed full-time as Goodwill employees. They're salvaging product that is being donated to us, creating something in most cases, beautiful. There's some beautiful items that come out of this, and it goes back into the store. And we tag them. We want the public to be familiar with this. So we tag them with a special tag that has the youth signature that completed that project on the back, and it says Youth Restoration.
Are your prices competitive, Liz, at the stores? And how do you set your pricing?
Pricing is set. It really is our goal to be respectful of the donor, and we want to maximize the value of that donation that the person's providing. just like you would a cash donation, because we do use those to fund programs. But we also want a cost-effective shopping experience for those people who come in and shop at our stores. So we're really going for somewhere around a third of the value if something's in good condition. So if something was worth $15 and it's in really good condition, we would try to get $4.99.
Well, we've been using, my wife and I have been using your facility, the new facility, relatively new, over on Fort Lowell. It's a really nice facility, and it's very convenient. You can just drive up around the back if you have a donation. Usually someone appears, you don't even have to ring the bell. Someone will come out, really nice people who will take the material out of the car or out of the truck, and they will get it into your building. So, I mean, it's very convenient.
And we want to make donating convenient for the public, and we also want to make people feel safe and secure and know that their donation's going, you know, to Goodwill, so we can put that to work in our community. And so all of our sites are staffed by a donation attendant who is in uniform, will take your donation, provide you a receipt for tax purposes, and hopefully that's a very positive experience, because those donations are helping fund those positions.
Liz Gulick, thank you very much, and good luck with Goodwill. And is there a website that you would like to direct people to?
Absolutely. www.goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Thank you very much, Liz.
Thank you.
12:45 now on the Buckmaster Show. We've been talking about youth. We're going to continue with that in our next segment. It's time for the annual science fair for our young scientists, and that's going to be coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. I want to tell you also, if you're looking for a great auto mechanic, Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works can take care of all of your auto needs, foreign and domestic. Mike and the team located Midtown location, one block south of Speedway on North Beverly. PerfectionAutoWorks.com. Be right back.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7 lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. My favorite bump music there by the group Coldplay. This portion of Buckmaster brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It makes a great weekend getaway. Some great eating over in Silver City. New York Times says a road trip destination among those willing to drive for a good meal. That was in the New York Times. Got some great restaurants in the downtown historic area of Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. You can find out about all the things to do and the great places to stay, like Cottage of Whispering Canyon and Fayetteville Hot Springs Resort, by going to their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. It is Science Fair time again, coming up in a few days, and Andrea Owen joins us now, Southern Arizona Research, Science, and Engineering Foundation Advisory Board member. Andrea, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too, Bill.
So there's somewhat of a change in the name. The fair itself, which, hard to believe, this is your like 60th anniversary
fair?
Yes.
We started from a small little humble group of 12 projects, and now we are up to almost 2,000 projects and over 5,000 kids competing at the fair.
The fair is called Southern Arizona Research, Science, and Engineering Fair. You did do a kind of a name change for the foundation.
Yes, it's moved from Scientech 12 to Southern Arizona Research, Science, and Engineering Foundation. So it makes it easier for everyone. We just call ourselves SARCEF.
What are the dates this year for the shows?
Starts Monday, runs all the way through next Friday. Down at the TCC, the kids will set up their projects all day on Monday. Judging is on Tuesday. That whole day is actually closed to the public. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is public can come down anytime they want. Big signature event is Wednesday night from 5:30 to 8, public invited, and Future Innovators Night.
That event is free, and thank you to Cox Communications.
Yes, thanks.
For making all of that possible and open to the public. What makes this what makes it unique?
Well, our fair in particular is unique. It's one of the most outstanding, prestigious fairs in the country, because we have K through 12 students competing. Most of the fairs across the country, usually they might incorporate junior high, but most of them will have high school. It is one of the most prestigious fairs because our kids typically do far better than kids coming out of any other fair across the country in Intel's prestigious International Science and Engineering Fair, which is held every year. The national average is about 15% of the students that will compete in ICEF will come home or be given some kind of special award at the fair. Our kids typically, over the last decade or two, 60 to 85% of our kids have come home with some kind of special award at ICEF, and sometimes multiple. We've had kids win hundreds of thousands of dollars of scholarships, money, cash prizes, and trips at ICEF.
Andrea Owen talking with us about the upcoming Southern Arizona Research Science and Engineering Fair. If the kids do well, and of course we want all of them to do well, but some of the big award winners, they go on to compete, don't they, nationally and even internationally?
Yes, there are several national competitions for junior high, and in New York they have the Science Olympiad. They have there's also an international fair called iSWEEP that started up in Texas about 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, and that is an international fair. The most prestigious and well-known is Intel's International Science and Engineering Fair. There's about 65 countries that compete in that every year, and it's held at a different location every year. Phoenix, Los Angeles, and Pittsburgh, they're rotating now. And so because we are so successful as a fair, we get to send more kids to compete in that than most of the other fairs in the country. And I think we'll send projects. We have they give us so many projects. And then two junior high students will be selected to go and be observers. So they get to have fun all week and observe while the high schoolers go through some really grueling judging all day on Wednesday, and then they are available for the public on Thursday. But it's well worth the effort for them, and they just have a phenomenal time.
Not only did you clarify with the name change, the organization, but you've also kind of revamped the mission statement to reflect this tremendous interest. Educators want more and more focus on science, technology, engineering, and math, so-called STEM.
Right. We move from, for years, we were exciting young minds about science. Mm-hmm. And last year, we, as a board, got together and picked out a new mission statement, empowering Southern Arizona K through 12 students to participate in science, technology, engineering, and math, which is real familiar for everyone. Mm-hmm. So it covers all those bases. And that's when the kids compete, those are the major areas that they're competing in.
And congratulations, recent awards, the 2014 Tucson Metro Chamber, the Copper Cactus winner, and 2014 top-rated nonprofit for area nonprofits.
Yeah, great nonprofits.
Great nonprofits.
Yes, yeah. So we were absolutely thrilled to receive those awards, and most recently the Copper Cactus Award, which recognizes us as an exceptional nonprofit, exceptional leadership, company culture, and business growth and innovation.
How are the projects changing over the years? Have you noticed a difference?
Well, it's absolutely amazing to see what some of the kids are doing, particularly in the high school. We have freshmen that are working on cancer research and genome testing.
Whoa.
Several years ago, the young man who won ICEF was actually a sophomore in high school, and he developed a way to test pancreatic cancer on a litmus paper with enzymes from your saliva.
Oh, my.
So, and he now has a patent on that. He's going to go on to go to school, but wouldn't really need to, but he just sort of stumbled across that. So those are the kind of things these kids are doing.
How are the kids introduced to the fair? Do they learn about it at the elementary schools, or how does that work?
Yes. Yeah, we have an education. Of course, we have some great teachers who know about it, and they are gung-ho, and they've been participating for years. We also have someone on the board who's actually in charge of our educational outreach, and she will go out and talk to schools, teachers, and parents. Last year, she made all of us together, but mostly, most of them were Brooke's work, 158 visits and talked to 18,347 students, teachers, and parents. We do this all year round. We aren't just the fair. Some of our money is geared toward the education side. Some of it's geared toward the SARCEF side. And so we are very busy educating elementary school, junior high, and high school parents, teachers, and students about the fair. So that's how we get the word out.
Well, thousands of students take part, but how many parents do you figure and volunteers are involved?
Well, for every student that's competing, and we have 75,000 kids in the Southern Arizona area, that's to Yuma and up to Globe and all over the place, they will be participating in their school's fair for the opportunity to compete in our fair, and that gets narrowed down. And we have 5,020 projects, 1,880 kids. Homeschoolers can compete without a fair. They can go ahead and come in and compete. And so thousands of man hours. You're talking about teachers, and of course, down at the fair, we have thousands of man hours put in to run the fair, and particularly judges, 300 plus judges just on Tuesday volunteer their time to come down. It is. It's a huge effort.
And again, the Future Innovators Night, that's a big event for the entire community, and that's March 11th at the Tucson Convention Center, 5:30 to 8 in the evening. Come out, take a look. It's a free event. See some of these great projects. And that's kind of the one I think the public would probably be most
interested absolutely. In. We have hands-on interactive science displays. Companies come down and put those on. And we have scavenger hunts, door prizes, and we have the Star Wars stormtroopers and characters coming. They're probably the most popular. So come down and get your picture taken with them.
Thank you. It's a great time. Thank you, Andrea. Good luck with the fair. The Buckmaster Show will be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow afternoon. For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, our morning lineup, Chris and Joe, 6 to 8, and then the Daily Double, 8 to 9, Ed Alexander, and me, Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.